Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,186. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and my car. You are in the men's room. On tap today, Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Morning Show join us. Once again, we will sit and spin. And today, in honor of Kiss Day, the 10 best Kiss songs of all times.
You mean Kiss?
We will play Profile This, plus headlines, the men's room shout of the day, fun listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack, drinking and drunk.
All right, here we go to the UK, where a small town wakes up to streets and yards covered in foam. Meanwhile, Canada neighbors complain of sorority girls, parties, and strippers at an Airbnb home. Woman who goes online finds obituary claiming that she is dead. A bear wanders into a middle school cafeteria and enjoys some delicious bread. And a zoo returns two panda bears back to China because they won't have sex. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right. Phil Collins, known for the song In the Air Tonight and an unusually large forehead, he joined Genesis as their drummer as a teenager in 1970. Now, since then, Phil has had 19 top 40 songs, including 7 number one hits. His career has spanned over 50 years. Now, that said, in a recent interview, Phil's daughter, Emily in Paris actress Lily Collins, she confessed that she really didn't know that some of his biggest hits were actually, quote, real songs. You see, it wasn't until she went to a Genesis concert that she realized that she knew a lot of his music. She just hadn't realized that it was him or that the songs were real. But whatever the case, still got to be pretty cool to find out that your father, or any close relative for that matter, was a prolific hit maker and performer. But Lily's not alone. We have a list of a few other celebrity children that, let's just say, took a while to find out that their parents were, well, celebrities. But in those cases, the revelation is a cool thing. That's not always the case. Thanks to entities like Ancestry.com and 23andMe, people have been finding out all types of odd truths about their family, or about their friends' families, or about their co-workers' families. One woman, she found out that her high school boyfriend, they reconnected at the high school reunion. Yeah, it's also her biological brother. I'm sure that was fun. Now, as absurd as that might sound, there is a silver lining. Apparently, that happens so much that there are now support groups for this type of thing. Then there's the woman who did a DNA test and found out that she had 200 siblings, thanks to a single sperm donor who, by the way, sperm still being used today. Not a bad thing. She was just like, oh my God, I have 200 siblings. And it's not all bad. Just last week, a man who was kidnapped in 1951 at the age of 6, he was just reunited with his brother 79 years later. And what's crazy is when you look at the picture, they look almost identical. And then there's the story of the woman who temporarily lost custody of her fifth child because of a Costco salad. We'll explain that coming up. But look, ma'am, as you go through life, you get a little bit older, people share secrets, or maybe you stumble upon their secrets. It can happen at work. A lot of times it's family. Sometimes your friends confide in you. And you go, man, I did not expect to hear that today. Good or bad? So that's what today's question is. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, family, or friend?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Yeah, let's just make a family member. You were right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miles.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Yeah.
Oh, but y'all, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,186. What a large and a charged program we have for you today.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll be joined by Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Morning Show. And we're going to sit and spin, and it's National Kiss Day today.
Sure, well, you're wearing a Kiss shirt.
Yeah, well, that's why I wore it. Or my Ace Frehley gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today, in honor of Kiss Day, we have the 10 best Kiss songs of all time coming up on the program.
All right.
Yeah.
Makes you be excited.
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as Kiss goes, nothing wrong with Kiss. If it's National Kiss Day, away
we go. There's a lot of things wrong with Kiss, but I am a Kiss apologist. It's like your kid. Like, I know if my kid effed up, but I still love them. I still got their back. The band Kiss, I got their back, but... Ooh, there was some bad music there toward the end, man.
Oh, you know, there was a few. Yeah, let's put the S in sex.
That was so stupid.
It was just going to be just, X until Kiss came along.
Watch the video if you get the chance, man. Like I said, Paul Stanley, to his credit, he owned cheese. Kind of like David Lee Roth owns cheese. Paul Stanley owns his cheesiness. And you watch the video. And like I said, the name of the song is Let's Put the X in Sex. Obviously, this is not a Pulitzer Prize winning lyric sheet here, but the fact that he keeps making that arm motion with the sex and trying to look sexy, you're like, wow, man.
And today on the program, we're going to talk about surprising things that you found out about a coworker, a family member.
It's like Tom Jones.
Or a friend. And we'll start with this story. As Lily Collins has shared her thoughts on dad Phil Collins' music efforts, revealing she had no idea that some of the biggest hits were actually real songs that he sang.
That's the thing. It's not that you're unaware that he did them. She did not know they were real.
Yes. He's 73. He kicked off his career as a drummer for Genesis in 1970. He was a teenager at the time and went on to claim the lead singer role a few years later. He then pivoted to his own solo career in the 90s and in the late 80s, took home an Oscar for Best Original Song thanks to You'll Be in My Heart, which, of course, you know as being the song of the Tarzan soundtrack.
I was going to say, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yes. However, during appearance on...
Are you sure? Can you find it?
Let's see.
I may have heard... Look, man, I didn't see the Tarzan movie. And I'm a Phil Collins apologist. Make no mistake. But he did have some of the sappier songs that just did not resonate in my brain so much.
So she was on Watch What Happens Live, and Lily explained that she wasn't initially familiar with his stint in Genesis. Despite having heard the songs when she was much younger, she knew some of the songs, did not know that her dad, which is amazing to me. Like, didn't Mike Rutherford never come around? Did Peter Gabriel never, they don't want to go out to dinner? Nobody knows who the hell these people are.
I think, all right, so we have another list of celebrities, kids who just didn't realize that their parents were famous, and they all seem to have the same sentiment. And to me, this is a good sign of parenting, is that we knew they went to work.
Right.
They came home from work, and just like any other parent, you know, they fought about the dishes or whatever the hell's going on, but like, they never brought up their job. And most of these kids, I know that one.
I mean, how do you not know?
Even but if you would think that you would know. Just, and some of the other kids that are like, they went to school, or my mom dropped me off at school, and they said, like, I don't know, your mom's Gwyneth Paltrow. And they're like, yeah, how do you know? And they're like, Gwyneth Paltrow. But, but the kids were like, well, that's her name. And they had to explain. And I want to say one of those kids came home like, Mom, do you make movies? And they were like, that is all I've ever done. It just never got brought up.
Banger after banger after banger. Baby. Phil Collins also, one of my favorite ones was Easy Lover with Philip Bailey.
You know
there's
what?
There's another good jam there for
I
you.
Heard that this morning at the $16 sandwich store
it's
across the street.
Not gets a lot of airplay anymore, but that was a big hit back in the day. So when asked of her favorite Genesis song, the Emily in Paris actress had to take a second before sharing. The funny thing is I have these memories as a kid of songs. I didn't even know if they were actually real. They were kind of in my head as I was maybe in the womb. I don't know. But then when I went to my first Genesis concert that I actually remember as an adult, there were songs that came on and I went, oh my God, that's a real song. I thought that was just a melody in my head. It was really weird. It was confirmed. Lily was much quicker to offer up her favorite song from her dad's solo efforts, adding probably In the Air Tonight. There's too many. And that's true. There's too many. Phil made his name as a drummer for the band briefly before leaving in 1996. He did reunite with the bandmates for a tour a decade later, and the group got back on the road once again a few years ago amid a series of Phil's health issues.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you only know what you know growing up. You'd have to think, though, that you would know that you're living in a much better environment, a much nicer neighborhood. What is being afforded to you as a child?
But how would you know if the school you go to, right? Because it's not like they sent them, you know, to the school you went to, everyone there is rich. But as one of the celebrity kids said, their parents are just, you know, high profile lawyers and all this. So they had the stuff we had, the same cars, a pool, a big ass house. And like, we didn't know.
Okay. All right. Well, the kids that I knew were rich. I knew exactly what their parents did growing up.
Sure, because they're
rich. My buddy Brian, his dad was a surgeon. He was rich. My other buddy Joel, his dad owned two of the biggest clothing stores in the area, menswear. That was back when, before the Men's Warehouse of the world. He was kind of the suit and polo guy.
But, I mean, if you're a kid, you don't know. You only know what you know. Which
but you should know what your parents do for it. Okay, he's a drummer.
That's all they had to say. One of them was like, I knew my parents were musicians. And I can't remember which kid said that. But when you find out who it is, you're like, yeah,
now,
you could say that.
With all fairness.
But to me, that's good parenting. They did not. Look, you could take like Will Smith or take Jay-Z, right? Their kids from an early age, they wanted them to know that they're rich and bring you out on tour and sing on their album and all those things they never had to earn. So I do respect the fact that some of these celebrities, some of them anyway, The kids didn't know. So also, I was like, look, you don't need to.
Also, with Phil Collins, it's not leather pants and rock and roll jackets.
It's not
a guy
Lenny Kravitz.
That looks like a high school history teacher.
Yeah.
This does not look like someone who is, you know, probably, maybe undisputably as far of a solo artist in his time, had more hits than just about anyone. I mean, of course, there's Whitney Houston. There's all these other people. But Phil Collins was right there.
Yeah, it's 7 number one hits and 19 top 40 hits.
Which is insane. I mean,
and probably about a 25-year period.
Never a time when Phil Collins was not on the radio. And if you listen to all of those tunes, they are dark. They are not happy.
Yes.
You have to listen to the music.
The music
is upbeat,
is fine. But, yeah. But lyrically, what he's saying is the man went through hell.
Basically, I mean, so Lily Collins, I hate your mom. That's the basis of almost every song.
Or your stepmother, or whoever I'm dating.
Or the other mother.
Or whatever the deal is. Here's another one. Do we know who Jack Quaid is?
Yeah, he plays. He's on The Boys. He's Huey.
Right, that's
he's
Huey. That's Dennis Quaid's kid. Right?
Is that Dennis? Is that through Meg Ryan?
Yes,
it
Dennis
is.
Quaid and Meg Ryan.
That is their son.
That is their son.
I have watched every single episode of that show except for the two that I have remaining on the final season, and I did not know. But now that it's been said to me, I'm like,
you see it.
I see it. I understand it. I'm like, that is a Quaid.
My wife told me we were watching the first season of The Boys a couple of years ago. We're watching it. She goes, "Do you know who that is?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she asked me this all the time. She knows my answer is I have no effing idea.
Right.
And she said his name, and I said, "Okay, good for him." And she goes, "That's Randy Quaid's son." I'm like, and then I can see the resemblance. He was one of the people. Keep in mind, he's an actor now.
Yes.
He did not know what his mother and father did for a living. He had no idea.
Year and a half ago, I was down at in Palm Springs playing golf, not too far away from Los Angeles, and I'm playing a course where they're having a tournament in a couple of weeks. So they're very strict about you need to keep your cart on the cart path. You cannot drive on the grass.
Right.
You have to adhere to all the rules. And they have people driving around in their own golf carts to make sure that you are adhering to all the. If you drive out on the fairway, they'll kick your ass off the golf course because they have a big tournament on TV. It's coming in a few weeks. So who are we playing behind? Frickin' Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid is driving all over the golf course.
Oh, no.
He gives absolutely zero Fs. He's wearing all black. He looks like Gary Player or Phil Mickelson, and he's driving everywhere, and the marshals don't say crap to them.
Nope.
So they come up to us and say, "Hey, man, you need to get that tire back on the cart path."
Were you like, "What about him?"
Dennis Quaid over there is driving all over the goddamn golf course. And the guy looks at me, he's like, "Yeah, that's Dennis Quaid." And I'm like, "So what?"
Right.
It's the same thing.
It's still going to look bad on TV.
But that is, I guess, he said he really didn't know that his parents are actors. He didn't really realize they were any different from his friends' parents, who were lawyers. He told Entertainment Tonight, "Moment where I realized it was slightly different was when I came to school one day and I said, I was on the set." And they were like, "You were on the set?" I was like, "Oh, is that a thing?" They were like, "Yeah, that's cool." I think that was the moment I realized it was slightly different than what most parents do. I had a very normal childhood, considering all those things.
That's what I mean. My respect for those parents goes a long way. Because like I said, you can go the other way where it's like, "Hey, yeah, make you a little superstar," and all that kind of crap. And like I said, see that with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the Kardashians, all that kind of. And look, do your own thing. But I do respect parents to say, "Look, I am rich. I am famous." And not until my kid was a teenager that they figured this out. And it's only because their friends told them. Because one of them would drop their kid off at school, mm-hmm, and all the other students are like, "Oh, my God, is that your mom?" He's like, "Yeah, it's my freaking mom. So what?"
Rumor Willis. Nearly a teen before she realized just how bad Bruce Willis and Demi Moore were. "I didn't know anything different. It's same thing if you're growing up learning a certain skill and someone else hasn't." She said, "I didn't realize. I guess it was a big deal. They were famous. We would go to Disneyland or something like that, and people would come up and try to take a photo, but I just did not understand what was going on." Now, here's an even more weird one. Pam Anderson's kids were too young to know about her Baywatch time. So Dylan and Brandon Lee did not figure out their mom was famous until they were teens themselves. I wonder if they did know that their dad was famous.
Probably, because he had to go off on tour. And I'm sure she said, "Oh, well, Tommy, he's playing with that band Motley Crue, and that's why he'll be back, you know, in 7 months."
And they came up to me and they said, "Mom, are you Pamela Anderson?" And I said, "Yeah." And they were like, "What is that? Why are people saying these things? Are you Pamela Anderson for real?" This is their kids talking to their mother. Like, what is going on? And eventually she told him, "Yes, I'm Pam Anderson. I'm your mother."
That had to be a weirder thing. Because, like, look, you know, with the Quaid, you go like, "Oh, my parents are famous." The Pamela Anderson, it's like, "I was famous because I was hot. And I got my gig because I showed my boobs, basically, whatever the baseball game was. But all that stuff comes out. We have the sex tape. Like, I could see maybe you're not but trying to sit down with your kids.
Netflix just did a Pam and Tommy. There's been a number of things. Tommy Lee has still been in Motley Crue all these years, all right? If I'm Dennis Quaid's kid or Meg Ryan, to be honest with you, not that they need to do anything, but I don't remember them doing anything past like 1992 or 3 or 4 that people remember.
Yeah, I'm right there with
you. I mean, it's Meg Ryan maybe dating John Mellencamp. I read that one time. But other than that, you don't see your parents on television.
No.
Ever.
Unless you watch something old.
Yeah, like, you know, some movie channel that's showing old stuff. But other than that, what's the last thing? I mean, I can tell you what Randy Quaid's been in.
The news?
Yeah, but I mean. what surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, family member, or friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Rock. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
All right, a question. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? I think the one that blew my mind when I was probably 15 or 16 years old, my grandfather started talking to me about his World War II experience.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he talked a little bit about it, but I never really understood the gravity of what his job was, what the boat's mission was, and how basically they were the first in for everything in the South Pacific. Now, compared to being on a battleship or an aircraft carrier or in a submarine or whatever, these guys went out in one of the smallest boats in the United States Navy, and it was called a minesweeper.
Yep.
Now, the minesweeper was a wooden boat, and it was one of the only
so it didn't blow up.
Wooden boats in the fleet. Their job was to blaze the trail where all the other boats would follow and sweep all of the mines and then take them and put them on the deck of the boat. So at any given time, they would have five or six, and it's exactly what you think. It's five.
Big spiked ball.
It's a big spiked ball, 5 or 6 feet, that they would bring up on the deck, gently sit down, and then they would take them to an island.
How many minesweepers did they have per fleet? Because no single minesweeper is going to make a swath big enough for an entire fleet to go through safely.
But they were also unmarked. And a lot of the times, you know, other battleships from the Japanese Navy, they would pass them.
Sure.
They would act like they were fishing boats. They did all kinds of different things.
Wouldn't you?
But they were always the first in. So they would get on the radio and tell everybody, all right, look, man, there's a fleet here. We're going to stop here. We're going to turn around.
Yeah.
We're going to do these things. We're going to sweep different areas. Maybe we'll come in more from the south if they're going to be here and re-strategize. Now, one thing that they did do within the Marshall Islands was they would take all of these mines and they basically would dry dock that damn thing on the beach, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they would take all the mines and physically pick them up. And they moved them to the middle of this atoll.
All right.
So that was their daily job because they had to get them off the boat. So
they
basically used this place as a dumping ground for all the mines. And they had frogs going down who would cut the lines because these things basically would sit about 10 to 15 feet below the surface of the
water. They're anchored to the water and float.
So once you find these things, you go down and they cut them and they rise to the top. They pull them up. They stick them on the deck. All right. At any rate, so that's the primary job of their crew. Now, at some point in time, they wanted to test nuclear weapons. I don't know if they'd done it yet in the deserts of Nevada or Arizona or New Mexico or wherever. They'd blown up maybe one or two.
All right.
But they got the call on the radio that said, hey, we're going to do our first ever nuclear exercise. The island that you're putting these mines on, we're going to blow it up with a nuclear weapon, and we're going to test it to see what's going on. So they ordered the crew to go to the where they were dropping them off, which was called the Bikini Atoll,
mm-hmm.
and sweep the entire island to make sure that there was nothing on there that would – basically, they were just doing kind of a sweep to see what was on the island. So my grandfather, he took a coconut, and that was the one thing that he wanted to get off the island because, you know, he's from West Virginia. He's in the South Pacific. It's coconut, man.
Yeah.
He's been at sea. Now he's on an island. He's taking a freaking coconut, which he kept.
Wouldn't you?
Which is still in part of his possessions. It's an old dried up, looks like a big fat prune football, right? But they were also there for the first explosion. And when that bomb went off, they had set them back a few miles back from the island. But their job was also then to determine the effects of what was going to happen when this bomb went off.
Always volunteer for that. And people now, say, let's see what the effects are. Yeah,
now, they had different fleets, but, you know, there's a bomber going overhead. They dropped that bomb, and they dropped it on the island. And he said as soon as he saw what happened, he knew that the war would be over.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Once he saw how big that explosion was and how big the mushroom cloud went up, and then you get hit with like a wall of, he said it was undescribable what the force was that kind of hit them, and they held on to the boat, but it still blew a lot of those guys back and into the water. That was just from the explosion itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now comes the tsunami. All right. So then they basically they turned and they left, but then they had to turn the boat around and they had to go bow in to those waves head on so that the boat would not capsize.
Yeah.
So not only were they there for the initial explosion, but then when that tsunami started to spread, which was not as terrible as they thought it was going to be. It wasn't like a 30-foot or anything like that. It was about a 15 to 20-foot swell.
That's plenty.
But still pretty substantial. And he said once he saw like what was happening to the water, he'd never seen, because this is pretty crystal clear blue water.
Yeah.
It's not real deep there because of all the little islands and all the little atolls in the area. And He just explained, like, I was one of the first people to see a nuclear weapon go off, and then he showed me the coconut when I was at his house.
and here's the coconut.
And here's the coconut. You know, and it was just like, it was riveting to me.
Riveting, because that's the test of, like, the most dangerous weapon that's ever been created on this planet. Right.
And he knew when the attack, when they dropped them, he's a very religious man. He prayed to God because he knew what they had done, and he knew how bad it was going to be. They had not heard anything yet, but they knew for a fact that the damage was going to be
catastrophic,
horrific, right? So, and that weighed heavy on him. Like, it really weighed heavy on him his entire life.
Yeah,
he never let that go because he just knew that he was part of something that was ultimately just a horrible thing. So it was a cool thing for him.
On the flip side, though, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but if you're at war, everything's going to be an atrocity. I mean, by the very nature of what conflict is, right? So you want to come up with the biggest, baddest thing. And it's awful, but it works.
Yeah.
You know, surrender was like, hey, we're done. We were just joshing around. Right. Sorry about Pearl Harbor. Hey, man,
that. And my grandfather, he wanted, as he told me, I wanted to serve the country. I wanted to be a part of what was going on. And I wanted to be in the Navy because I wanted to see the world if I could.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out of West Virginia. I wanted to do all this. He's like, but then when you get in the middle of it and you start realizing how intense and how serious all these things are and that your life every day is up in the air. It's just you don't know from one day to the next. One of those mines could have gone off on the boat. You know, and so they were just in constant fear of their lives every day. And I'm just like, I'm like, how old were you? And he's like, 18.
Yeah, I was going to say probably what, 19, not even 20 yet?
19 years old. I'm just like, man, this is, I hope when I'm 18, 19 years old.
That's not my situation.
I don't have bombs on the deck of a boat someplace.
You know what the irony of all of that is? That's where they came up with the name The Bikini for the bikini. All right. What? So look, most people are wearing one-piece bathing suits. The ladies wearing one-piece bathing suits back in the day, because that's how we've always rolled, right? And then you can do two pieces, but God forbid you show a belly button. And throughout history, the moments the belly buttons have been shown, you know, it's a big historical moment, which is absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, the designer who finally established and got the bikini outward said, look, ladies wear this on the beach, it's going to be provocative. So he wanted to come up with a provocative name. And because of those tests on the bikini at all, that is why he picked the name Bikini.
So
that is exactly why, because it evoked something that said, look, this, you might have a problem with it, but we're letting you know by the name. It's like naming your kid Adolf.
Right.
We understand the point you're trying to make
here. They were allowed to do one pass through after the explosion to see what happened to the island, or what was left of the island. But their instructions were to go over that thing or wherever it was or around it, what was left, as fast as you can. And then you were going to head due north because the wind was blowing west to east.
And all the radiation.
They knew there was going to be nuclear fallout. So basically, when they went over the top, and he's like, there was nothing. It was gone. It was just a cloud of dark, dirty water.
Right.
And he's like, it was black. He's like, it was like nothing in the area. It was, the whole thing was just gone. And then they booked their asses north as fast as they possibly could because they didn't want all the radiation to rain down on the boats.
Yes.
So that was also part of it. Then they had to basically just escape the fallout from the bomb. And I'm like, and this was all in one day. He's like, one afternoon.
Wow, man.
I'm just like, that's a hell of a mission.
That's a lot. Did you ever bitch about anything in front of him after that?
Not really, no.
How was your day? Better than yours, bro. No. Hey, I guarantee it.
And his favorite thing was a vanilla ice shake, milkshake. He'd be just like, hey, man, let's go get a vanilla milkshake. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
A couple months ago, my mom came to me and said her and her aunt were looking through some paperwork and found out that my great-grandmother's grandfather was the war chief that fought off the U.S. Army at Point Defiance.
For real? Wow, man.
Yeah, and it was also him or one of his sons that pioneered ording.
Pioneered what now?
Ording.
Oh, ording. Oh, gotcha.
Now, is there any residual that like, rains down to the family or any kind of acknowledgement or just a plaque somewhere that has, like, the family name?
Do you get free zoo passes?
No. We're just finding out. There's a myth on my grandmother's side, my great-grandmother's side, that one of my family members helped build Meeker Mansion. And because of the discrepancy between him and Mr. Meeker, my family name never got put on the list. So, like, the tribe still, you know, embraces us. We're still part of it. But we don't get those benefits as everybody else because we were never put on the list.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
Yeah, contractors.
Yeah, I mean, basically, that's how it comes
down. I'll be there at 7. Yeah. You get the phone call at 7:45. Maybe tomorrow.
The funniest part is my mom and my brother look the part. But I have too much Scottish in my blood, and I'm just a white dude with a red beard.
So do you find that people don't believe you necessarily when you bring this up?
Like, okay, redhead. My mom or my brother is my relative.
Has it always been that way?
Yeah. I have friends, you know, early when I was a teenager, I show up to a house with all of our friends, and I had a Slurpee, and my brother was there. It's hot. You know, he's like, hey, man, let me get a sip of that. So I hand it to him, and they're like, oh. Are you guys together? I was like, dude, it's my brother.
Are you guys together?
And then my mom had to show up, and they're like, oh, yeah, Jerry's your kid. Who's this white boy?
So it's just always that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, always. And my son, he's huge. He looks like a white boy, you know, Viking, white, you know, blonde hair, but his facial features are native. So he's a really pretty dude.
Oh, okay. Are you jealous of him, all the chicks, I'm guess, checking him out?
No, I'm really jealous because he got certified through Norway. He's going to go to a Norwegian festival there and be able to put his name on the tree of lineage.
Wow.
Of Viking lineage.
Damn.
Through both sides of the family.
That's crazy.
All right, Vikings and natives, man, you got it going on. Yeah. Odd for a redhead, but hey,
Not the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
No, his grandmother on his mother's side is Swiss royalty as well. And Jesus, the grandfather is deep Germany. So we're all about that. And then my mom showed in with the native, and here we are.
All right, man. Damn. Kind of impressive.
That is.
You know, it's funny. He brings up that no one thinks he's related to his family because he's a redhead. They have native blood. When I was in fourth and fifth grade, just for 2 years of my elementary school, we lived in upstate New York. All right. So these teachers would come up to me. So I'd been there for a year. And then at the beginning of the next school year, a couple of different teachers that I kind of knew, they hadn't been my teacher directly, but they were like, hey, we met your brother. And I go, okay. I just assume they're talking about Adrian, right? No big deal, but maybe three or four different teachers through the course of this week kept saying that. And finally, I'm like, man, my brother's in high school. I don't know how you guys met him, but whatever. They're like, no, your younger brother. I'm like, I don't have a younger brother. They said, Raymond Hill, only other black kid in school. His last name was Hill, and he's two grades behind me.
Did you ever meet him?
I eventually met him, but I kept hearing this for probably the first 6 weeks of school, and he kept explaining, it is not my brother. But you know, people couldn't move past it. They're like, well, he's black, and has the last name Hill. I'm like, well, we're not the only one. It's not like a black family. You pick a last name, and no one else can have it. I'm like, it's not my brother. So I finally met him one day. We were in the cafeteria.
See, I thought the Black Hills were in South Dakota. Or is it North Dakota? Where is that?
We're everywhere, man. Yeah. So I meet him in the cafeteria one year. And we immediately walk up to each other, and he's like, you're my big brother. I'm like, you're my little brother. I said, are you telling people the same thing I am? He's like, I keep telling people, like, you're not my brother. And up until then, we had never even seen each other on the school property. So when they saw us talking in the cafeteria.
Oh, now you're real brothers.
Well, keep in mind, these are the same teachers that we had explained we don't know each other. The teachers come up, and they're like, well, there you guys are. And we're like, hey, man, those guys got a little heavier than you meant it in this moment, but us guys, we're not related. We're talking about the fact that I can't believe your freaking last name is Hill, you know? And he's like, yeah, man, I didn't know. So he's like, I, as soon as I saw you, I'm like, oh.
But that had to start a little bit of a bond, though, as far as just like, I mean, you know, in a weird way.
I mean, a little bit. You know what I mean? We always acknowledge it. But when you're in fourth grade, you're not trying to hang out with second graders, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. But we would acknowledge each other.
I mean, trust me, when Montgomery rips off a run, man, he plows people over. I'm like, yeah.
My brother.
That guy. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Chris?
Hello.
Hola.
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 So, Chris, what strange thing did you find out about someone?
Well, we were sitting at my neighbor and another neighbor, my neighbor's son. We were all sitting outside a couple years ago. And I just got curious, and I said, how come you guys have different last names, him and his son? And they both looked at each other. And I'm like, hey, that's weird. One said, do you want to tell her? And I looked at the dad, and I said, okay. And he goes, I was in witness protection because I testified against John Gotti. My eyes got big, and I'm like, what?
Do you believe him? Because I don't imagine that at any point that I'm in witness protection, even if it's post-witness protection, that I'm going to bring that up.
It was, they had gotten out of it because the son wanted to see his kids. So anyway, that, you know, that whole thing. But I was like, are you serious? And he was telling me stories that he still had a bullet in his leg. And I mean, all about, he was like right under Sammy the Bull. And blew my mind.
From what I understand, witness protection, they used to have satellite operations where they would just, you know, have a family, but that guy was in charge of everything, but his folks still lived there. But there were pockets of places around the country where these guys would be relocated. Rochester, New York,
I was going to say,
believe it or not, is one of those places.
Oh, I know.
So is the northern portion of West Virginia, Clarksburg, Morgantown, and Fairmont, because they have one of the biggest Italian festivals on the East Coast in West Virginia, based on a lot of these things. Las Vegas, before it became
the worst place to put them now, but yeah.
And the Pacific Northwest. So there were a few, Arizona in the desert. They had a number of places that they would relocate people, but they all kind of put them close to each other.
What's weird is, looking back, I realize I knew a lot of people. I don't know if they're witness protection or if there's families of the mob. Because the other thing the mob would do, depending what they were gearing up to do, whatever big business thing they were going to do in New York City, they would send their families to upstate New York just to not be near the business, just in case there's any reciprocation for their actions. So, but my mother, one of the people that she had, she didn't work with him, but he was a client of hers. She was a buyer for him, and he was an open mobster, had this big goon that walked around, just had a stack of cash, never used a credit card. Long story short, there was one year where the guy just, he thanked my mother for always being cool and being cordial, and here's the guy, I want one thing for my wife, one thing for my girlfriend, make sure the wrapping is different so I don't give it to the wrong person. So he wanted to buy her a big-ass bottle of perfume. And she goes, no, you don't need to do that. You know, I'm sure my husband wouldn't find it funny. Your husband? Like, she was like, you know what, go ahead, just buy it.
Yeah, sure.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's cool. Go ahead, buy it.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.